You know, who do they normally nominate to be attorneys? It's the kids. It's 99% of the time, it's the kids. And what a perfect opportunity to start building that relationship, to start communicating, you know, and doing so. But I think you're doing the client a complete disservice if you don't. And listen, I'm not a financial advisor. You know, all we do is that we specialise in wills, powers of attorney and trusts. We don't deal in financial services whatsoever. You know, but I'm always directing clients to financial services people because of the fact they've got an IHT issue. They need to start considering what they're going to happen with their wealth. You know, I've never come across Adam, but looking into the background of Asset Map, you know, these are the perfect tools to start to really generate an understanding of what people have got and what they want to happen to it. Because, you know, it's interesting, you know, Adam saying, you know, you're asking the question, where do you want it to go? And it didn't work in that scenario. But fundamentally, you know, that's our job. You know, we need to, what have you got? Where do you want it to go? Why do you want it to go there? And what are the consequences if it doesn't get there? And there's loads of consequences if it doesn't get there. And there's loads of things that can happen if you don't have the right legal documentation in place.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about, and particularly your reference to Alzheimer's, should it be a standard part of anybody selling a critical illness insurance policy on which early onset Alzheimer's may well be covered? You know, should you at that point, you're looking at all of the serious illnesses that might, you know, inhibit capacity. And if you haven't then done an LPA at the same time, you know, somebody's probably leaving themselves really quite exposed.
Do you know what, Ian? The interesting element with LPAs is that by the time you realise you really need it, it's too late.
Of course.
That's right.
You know, lots of insurance people sell insurance and, you know, do they ever use it? Well, what? Sometimes, but you buy it just in case. Mm-hmm. It's exactly the same scenario. I hope to God you never need an LPA. I hope to God you die with full capacity, never having to worry about it. But statistically, 50% of the people are going to need it. And if the amount of clients that come and ring me, children ring me saying, my father's got Alzheimer's, dementia, I need to get the powers of attorney in place. Number one, they've got to have a capacity. They've got to, you know, we follow a guideline on something called Banks and Goodfellow. And ultimately, if you're selling financial services to somebody and it's questionable whether they've got capacity, then you're leaving yourself widely open. Number two, you know, from the point of view of selling legal documents, I have to walk away from anyone that if there's the slightest indication that they've got any capacity issues. If they ask me if I want a cup of tea three times, I've got to walk away from that appointment. That's when I start to communicate with the children, because I'm not allowed to sell legal documents to people who are not fully aware of what they're doing it and why they're doing it. You know, so it's really important that these documents are sold early to people at a time. And listen, you only spend the money once. It's not like an annual fee, a monthly fee. You buy the documents, you put them in place, you put them in a drawer, and you're good to go. You know,
it's an interesting thought, isn't it? I mean, every advisor is going to ask if a client's got a will. Does every advisor ask, is there a lasting power of attorney? You know, when you're doing a house purchase, you know, It's a bit like there is a very active debate in the protection industry at the moment that you should sell income protection before you sell mortgage protection. Mm-hmm. Should you actually put in place a lasting power of attorney before you put in place a will?
Do you know, I think it's one of the biggest missed opportunities, you know, in the mortgage industry. Because, do you know, it's not just about Alzheimer's and dementia, by the way. You know, people who lose capacity, it could be drug related, it could be health related, it could be accident related, you could fall off your bike, you could fall off your jet ski, you could literally fall off a ladder, you could have an accident at work, you could be temporarily incapacitated. I've seen people who've had septicemia, who've lost, you know, capacity. It might come back, but there's decisions that have to be made. You know, we look at, you know, sort of, you know, property and finance and those elements. But what about health and welfare? You know, the decisions that are going to be made for people on their behalf. Who do you want making those decisions? Do you want somebody that you don't know in a hospital somewhere, but someone that you've never met before? Do you want your family who understand your faith, your religious aspects, you know, your personal, you know, feelings? You want the people close to you to be able to make those decisions. And I feel it's really important that people get to understand this. And it, you talk about, how do I get to talk to the children? How do I bring the children in? It's so easy saying, who are the attorneys going to be? We need to get them involved. We need for them to understand what their duties are as an attorney.
It's interesting I mean, it's really interesting because I'm listening to you, Al, and I'm thinking, you know, this is such a massive societal problem in multiple continents. Right. There's no difference in the states, right? With the same types of metrics and also the same amount of transition that typically widows and survivors of our clients do not stay with the financial advisors simply because there's not the relationship there. And they probably want to go toward more techified experience, lower cost. They don't know the value because they didn't build that relationship early. But it begs the question, with such a problem that addresses the entire marketplace, 100% of the population will have at some point some level of decisions to be made, why industry or the government hasn't mandated this. In other words, when you purchase a life insurance policy or a critical illness, why isn't automatically this included as part of the product? So it's incumbent upon financial advisors to lead this charge. If society is not going to mandate it, we have to be the protectors of the clients, again, to promote this idea of best interest. And I don't know how it doesn't ultimately become a huge misstep if, as financial advisors, we don't lead that charge.
Yeah, and just coming back again, I that's partly why I put the two of you together on this particular chat, because I felt that your two solutions interlocked and you know, potentially there's synergies between the two. Again, coming back to the life insurance side of things, so natural to put a life insurance policy in trust, but you haven't got an LPA. Again, that, you know, that's such a challenge going forward. So how do we change things? Perhaps I can come back to each of you and ask you to give, you know, one or two examples of scenarios that you've seen that have worked well for financial advisors. Adam, you already gave a few examples earlier, but I think, you know, if we can drill down a little bit more into how do you start this off? And there is that, I think the point that was made by Alan just now about, in fact, both of you, by getting that good relationship with the next generation. You know, if you're the person that made sure that they brought in the lawyer to do the attorney so that it was all in the right place, that is really building a relationship. But, you know, can we just expand a bit more on triggers and examples of things that have worked well? And just a little reminder to our audience, do feel free to start putting your own questions into the chat, please, because I am going to start coming to the chat section of the discussion very shortly. So yeah, gentlemen, ideas, tips, things that you've seen work well.
Do you want to go first on?
Go for it. Yeah, sure. I've got plenty of ideas. Go ahead.
Yeah. Do you know, as not being a financial advisor, I don't know what your normal agenda is, but I know at some point you've got to ask the question, have you got a will? Have you, you know, the simple, that should be expanded. You should be, have you got a will? Have you got an LPA? At which point, I feel that it's a great time to educate the client. You understand the consequences, because the simplicity of an LPA is that it allows other people to make decisions for me if I lose capacity. And everyone thinks it will never happen to me. And that's about as deep as it gets. What they don't understand are the potential consequences. And I don't say the consequences to scare them. I don't say, you know, to sort of intimidate them, but they need to understand that these consequences are real. You know, that actually all your accounts, including joint accounts, could be frozen by the Office of the Public Guardian if one of you loses capacity. It could take up to 9 months to get access to your bank accounts again. what doesn't get paid in that 9 month period? What are the consequences of what doesn't get paid in that 9 month period?
Mm-hmm.
Every time that you want to make a decision thereafter, you will have to phone up the OPG to ask permission for any cash transaction above the amount of £500. You're going to have to provide annual accounts to the OPG to make sure that you're not misappropriating funds of the incapacitated person. These are all the things that people have got to do if you don't have a lasting power of attorney. You know, you can't renegotiate mortgage rates. You can't sell your house. The same reason you can't renegotiate your mortgage rates, the same reason you can't say yes, because if you both can't sign, if you don't have legal authority through a, you know, lasting power of attorney, you can't even sell the property. So you can miss your mortgage repayments because you're on the standard variable rate. You could have potentially lose your property. And if the exit is, well, I'll sell my house then, at least I could get my equity out and buy something else. You can't even sell your house. You know, and people don't understand that. And the reality of it is that these legal documents are there to protect you and to protect your family while you're alive. And it's vitally important that we do that, because at the same time, you're using me as your trusted advisor. If I don't have the ability to be able to communicate with you and get permission to transfer funds, I'm making it really difficult for myself. I'm not necessarily guaranteeing that I'm going to be able to manage your funds appropriately without these legal documents in place. It's in the client's best interest, and it's in the financial advisor's best interest that they make sure that their clients stay in charge of their assets, and that they give legal authority to someone that they trust to be able to do these transactions on their behalf. And I think once people understand that, you know, do I want to put a legal document in place because it allows other people to make decisions? You know, if I lose capacity, yeah, I could take it or leave it, to be honest. If I understand the ramifications of it, actually, this becomes a 10 out of 10 on my agenda.
That's true.
And then it takes it from I'd like to have it to I must have it. And you will tick all the boxes, Ian, in respect to consumer duty, treating the customer fairly. No one could ever question later down the road if their funds take an absolute bomb that you didn't give them the right opportunities to put the correct legal documentation in place. That's my thoughts on it.
Yeah.
I mean, the consumer duty element there really, really is important. Adam, coming back to you.
You know, I think of three things, because Al reminded me of something. Nothing stops us as financial advisors from making it a requirement. In other words, I'm not taking on your business unless you prove to me you have power of attorney, because you're setting me up to fail and to not deliver on the expectations of my value proposition today, tomorrow, and well after you're gone. And so maybe we actually have to hold a harder line and say, by the way, this is just part of our process. And when we're doing all the account paperwork, et cetera, now it's time to do this. And we have to have a turnkey way of doing it. And I think that's what I think you're doing it, honey. And I think that this is really an important aspect for us to hold the line, right? The other things are softer, but let me offer this. Sorry. One of the things I think that comes up a lot with the advisors that I talk to is the awkwardness of talking about this again, and I break it up. So one of the things that we started to do in our firm is that we would hold, and we told our clients we would do this every 5 years, we're holding a family meeting. And it was done so that it wasn't overwhelming, but we would invite the generation of the client we're working with and the next generation that they felt was probably going to be their executors, their next line trustees, the ones that they wanted to have an idea of what was going on. They trusted them. And we would invite them to our office. We would have lunch, and we would literally go over the full inventory, assuming we had permission from our clients to do that. And we would show them, here's where this is, and here's where that is, and this is the treasure map Ian talked about. And by the way, we put this in trust in order to protect the grandchildren, to provide for their education. And we also did this to force privacy. We put the business into an organization here so you could split it with your sister, but you'll have control. And here's why we did this. And we literally walk through this situation. So we show that there's been intention, plus we get the feedback when those next generations are asking questions. Why did you put all this complexity? Why do we have to do this? Why? to show that we are intentional about it. And what it did is it really earned us a lot of relationship currency with the next generation that showed we were actually on top of it. We were really advocates. And so when those kids wound up becoming the successors, or when mom and dad became incapacitated, then they knew who to call, and we were a trusted partner, as opposed to just those guys that mom and dad worked with, and I don't know them at all. You know what? My buddy became an advisor. He just got out of college. I think I'll just hire him, right? And then he winds up ripping the whole thing apart because he doesn't understand it, and it becomes a mess anyway. So I think having a family meeting and telling your clients why it's important to do this sets them up for creating the legacy, the 100-year legacy that they really want to create, but nobody has offered to them. The second thing that we've been doing recently is we designed this concept called a balance sheet at death, or a beneficiary statement. It basically is a typical balance sheet, but you can literally knock off any one of the members of the household, and it'll show the balance sheet and to whom all those assets will go. And the irony behind it is that because so few advisors ask who the beneficiary is and confirm it, it shows that 90% of that person's assets are unspecified and therefore go into a limbo column. And the key for us as advisors is to actually be intentional and help them answer the question, what is the intent of this instrument of finance, insurance, asset, income source, real estate, whatever it might be, and actually be intentional and then confirm that the plan supports it. And that's where the documents come in, because if the documents are not there, it can't actually come to fruition. So I think that's the important part, is allow the advisors to bring up the topic in an intellectual way, and then really require that they deal with those emotional decisions. And a decision is better than an indecision here, right? Because we know the default scenario is not appealing.
Do you know, Adam, it brings up something for me as well, Ian, if you don't mind.
No, go on.
We do wills, powers of attorney, trust, probate work. You know, so I deal with them at the beginning and I deal with them at the end.
Right.
And so the really interesting element is that this is a lifetime relationship with the client, not dissimilar, you know, to a financial advisor if you're providing great service.
Right.
So, but interestingly, I've had two massive organizations in the UK contact me in the last 12 months because they've got millions of people, beneficiaries, children, that they've got no GDPR ability to be able to communicate with.
Mm.
They don't have the right to communicate with them. The client, they could communicate with, but their children, they can't send them a letter. They can't communicate with them. So one of the things that they were asking me was, would we be able to provide all the children a free will using your platform to allow us to get GDPR opt-in, to allow us to be able to communicate with the client, and to then open a door so we could start that ball rolling, so we could start to build that relationship that we failed on historically.
Yeah.
So that was a really big point, you know, because if you haven't been, you know, what do you do if you haven't already done this? How do you get back to how do you get into the children? Well, you could offer, you know, all your clients the ability to offer their children just a basic free will. Any legal, a basic will is better than no will whatsoever, right? And if they're grandparents, they need to make sure guardianship is covered, you know, so that their grandchildren, it's not no longer a foregone conclusion that the grandparents are going to get the kids. They're going to go into care.
That's right.
You know, so just purely from a guardianship point of view, there's a really good reason to put a legal document in place. But then the secondary issue or benefit, I think, for a financial advisor is that when the probate work comes into Honey, I know 12 months before anyone else where that money's going. I know the children, I know the splits, I know the beneficiaries, mm-hmm. I know what they're going to get, what percentage they're going to get. And at that point, you know, it's really good advice to be able to go back to your father's financial advisor and have a conversation with him because you have got some significant issues on your inheritance.
Yeah.
Good one.
I strongly recommend that you speak to your father's financial advisor.
I'm going to go now to the Q&A part of our discussion today, and I'll pick up, if I may, initially with Simon Thomas of Ascot Lloyd, and just to give Simon a moment to take his mic off mute and ask his question if you'd like to, Simon. Our guests have also provided a few slides of bullet points that advisors can follow after today. And I'm just going to start quietly running those in the background. maybe they'll prompt a few more people to come up with a few more questions. But Simon, your question, please.
Thanks, Ian. Has the ability to establish a power of attorney online through the government service made things better, or do we think take up has been so low as it's actually made, you know, no difference at all? There's no impact, and people are still as poorly served as they were before.
You know, I would struggle to deal with the OPG's online facility, and you know, I do this for a living. You know, the general laypersons go onto the OPG website and do it themselves for free, which they can do, just doesn't happen. It's complicated. There's references, you know, backwards and forwards to different pages and different, you know, guidelines. The general public do not have the time or the desire to go through that process. Unless you come from a background where you are more than proficient in dealing with it, which maybe 10% of the population are, the other 90% of the population, I think, you know, would rather just let a professional deal with it.